And please be seated. Well, this evening, we begin a four-week series, or four Sunday evenings, learning together how to lament. Now, that probably doesn't sound very gripping to some people, but actually, according to the Oxford Dictionary, a lament is a passionate expression of grief or sorrow. And the Hebrew expression that we sometimes translate out, lament, means literally to wail, to cry out. And it may not surprise you this evening to know that the Bible is full of laments. We find these passionate expressions of grief and sorrow all throughout the Scriptures. In fact, the book of Psalms, the book in the middle of the Bible, of the 150 Psalms, at least 60 of them are categorized as laments, expressions, passionate expressions of sorrow and grief. And Christian lamenting, which is what we're going to be thinking about here on Sunday nights together, Christian lamenting, as opposed to the kind of the crying, I mean, everyone laments, right? Everyone feels their pain and their sorrow, and everyone knows how to cry out. But Christian lamenting is taking that grief and sorrow we feel to the Lord. That's Christian lamenting, and that's what we're going to be learning to do. It means turning to God when our sorrow tempts us to run from God. It means complaining to God rather than complaining about him to others. And that is to be true, whatever circumstances it is in your life that is causing you that grief and sorrow that make you want to lament. You know, whether that is a personal pain, or whether that's an illness of some kind, or the mess of our world, the depths of depression perhaps, or loneliness, or betrayal, or a sin in our lives, a global pandemic and its effects, or whether it's being followers of Jesus and experiencing the pains of being a follower of Jesus in particular settings, all of those things, we're invited to take them to the Lord and lament before him in all its honesty, in all its questions, and all its frustrations. One writer put it like this, and I'm just going to read it because I couldn't put it better. But let me just read this about lamenting. This is what we're learning to do over these four Sundays. He says this, lament is different from crying because lament is a form of prayer. It is more than just the expression of sorrow or the venting of emotion. Lament talks to God about pain, and it has a unique purpose. That's biblical lamenting, has a unique purpose, which is trust. It is a divinely given invitation to pour out our fears and our sorrows for the purpose of helping us to renew our trust in confidence in God. Now that was quite a long quote, but I think if you want me to send that out to you, I'm really happy because I think that's a really key to understanding what lamenting is. And wonderfully, the Psalms, this gift from God, the lament Psalms especially, can teach us how to lament before God, how to bring our sorrow and our grief to God in the way he wants us to, both on our own, and the Psalms help us to do that together, corporately. Lamenting is a way of leaning into God as we live as Christians between the gap, that is the gap of Jesus' first coming and his return. As we live in the middle, lamenting is a great gift to us to help us to pour out our grief to God and to reorientate us to the future that is to come. So that's what we're going to be learning to do. Hopefully that's a helpful intro to lamenting. That's what we're going to be learning to do. We're going to start our journey in learning to lament in Psalm 6. So if you've got a Bible or a device, open your Bible to Psalm 6. Over the coming weeks, we're going to be looking at various circumstances in which we should learn to lament, lamenting at the wickedness of the world, lamenting in our own distress or our own despair. And we start the journey tonight in Psalm 6. So let me read that to us. I need to find that myself. Psalm 6. For the director of music, with stringed instruments, accord to Shemaneth, a psalm of David. Lord, do not rebuke me in your anger, or discipline me in your wrath. Have mercy on me, Lord, for I am faint. Heal me, Lord, for my bones are in agony. My soul is in deep anguish. How long, O Lord? How long? Turn, Lord, and deliver me. Save me because of your unfailing love. Among the dead, no one proclaims your name. Who praises you from his grave? I am worn out from my groaning. All night long I flood my bed with weeping and drench my couch with tears. My eyes grow weak with sorrow. They fail because of all my foes. Away from me, all you who do evil. For the Lord has heard my weeping. The Lord has heard my cry for mercy. The Lord accepts my prayer. All my enemies will be overwhelmed with shame and anguish. They will turn back and suddenly be put to shame. This is the word of the Lord. Let's pray and ask for his help, and then let's consider this first of our lament psalms together. Our gracious Father in heaven, life is full of hardships. We don't need to tell you that. You see, you know, you've experienced them in the Lord Jesus Christ. And we ask, please, that you would teach us over these Sunday evenings what it means to lament before you, to bring that sorrow and hardship to you as we live in this gap between Jesus' first and second coming. Lord, teach us tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, let me ask you, as we read Psalm 6, have you ever experienced or found yourself feeling anything that David expresses in this psalm? Just have a look down. Verse 3. My soul is in deep anguish. That kind of inner terror of the very center of your being. Verse 3, again, a soul that is desperate to know when these circumstances that are causing you grief and sorrow will end. How long, O Lord, how long? Verse 6, have you ever found yourself worn out from groaning? Worn out from that inner kind of yearning about a situation? You just cannot groan anymore. You've run out of groans. Verse 6, again, you're flooding your bed with tears. You've got no tissues left. You've just cried so much. Verse 6, again, sleepless nights. Anyone experience sleepless nights from sorrow and grief? Your emotions just play over and over again. They keep you awake. What about verse 6 again? My eyes grow weak with sorrow. I think he's talking about having puffed up eyes. Have you ever cried so much that your eyes are just puffed up and you can't kind of see properly? They're just weak. They're weak from crying, weak from staying awake. See, maybe some of us here are actually there right now. There's some sorrow or grief in our life that is causing us some aspect of what David is feeling right here. We all pass through seasons, don't we, where these things can get us. And these kind of circumstances that might bring us, there are all sorts of circumstances that might bring us to this place of anguish, this place of despair, this place of sorrow, this place of weeping. I mean, sickness. Sickness might bring us to there. Depression. Too much work. Some of us are stretched to our limits and we feel like this. Some of us don't have enough work and it's stretching us to these kind of places. Some of us are feeling crushed by expectations, crushed by things that never worked out the way that we wanted them to. Perhaps we might be feeling abuse from others in some way, whether that's in a very personal way or perhaps a little bit broader in the places we work, or there's neighbours that are making life difficult for us, and it's causing us these kind of feelings that David is expressing in this psalm. Now, for David, he seems to be experiencing these things for a number of reasons. We kind of have to pick it apart and see what it is. The first we find in verse 1. David is experiencing this kind of pressure because he seems to have a consciousness, a conviction of sin. Look at verse 1. Lord, do not rebuke me in your anger or discipline me in your wrath. He recognizes that he's in a place of experiencing the Lord's fatherly discipline and rebuke at his sin. Something that he's done in his life that has met with the Lord's displeasure. He's living with that sense of guilt. Now, can you identify with that? Can you identify with a time like that? Maybe tonight even, you're living with the guilt, the weight of a sin past or a present sin that sits heavy on your soul and in some way is bringing you low to a place of anguish and tears and maybe even sleepless nights. So David has a consciousness of sin. Verse 2 though, he sounds sick as well though, doesn't he? Have a look at verse 2. Have mercy on me, Lord, for I am faint. Heal me, for my bones are in agony. There's something going on in his body. His body is aching. He seems to be unwell. Now, living day in, day out with pain seems to have brought him to a place of despair. Now, many of us know that, don't we? Many in our church family right now know that dark place of just constantly living with pain. Bodies and souls are connected, aren't they? So your body gets sick, your soul aches. Your soul aches, sometimes your body gets sick. They're intertwined. And more than that, David seems to be thinking that this might somehow, this sickness might even end in death for him. Verse 5, among the dead no one proclaims your name. Who praises you from his grave? He seems to think that that's where it's heading. So there's a consciousness of sin, verse 1. There seems to be some sickness, verse 2. And verse 7, if you have a look at verse 7, he talks about my foes, my enemies, those who have ganged up against him in some way. And living daily with pressure and hostility from others, it is wearying. It's a tough place to be. Abuse, bullying, people who make life difficult for you. If you live with that, there's no wonder it can bring you to a place of despair. Even as Christians, we're told that we face a great foe, the devil, who daily wants to tempt us into sin. Now, how these three things were connected in David's life, we're not sure. The sin, the sickness, the suffering from at the hands of others, how were they intertwined? What was the sin he'd committed? What was the sickness that he had? Who were these foes that are raised up against him? Well, the psalm doesn't tell us. Were they all intertwined? Was the sickness and the suffering from the hands of enemies, was that because he'd sinned in some way? Was that the Lord's hand upon him? Well, we're not told. Now, we can take a guess, though. For those of us who know the life of David, we know that David actually committed a very big sin in his life. He committed adultery with a lady called Bathsheba. And then he had her husband killed to try and cover it up. And very much through his life, he was living, as it were, in the wake of that sin. And God brought things into his life, like the raising up of his son Absalom against him, who drove him out of Jerusalem, and there was these enemies, and we don't know the effect that had on David and his body. So there's the possibility that all that was going on in David's life. But either way, whatever it was, it's very clear from Psalm 6 it had brought him to a place of anguish, a place of tears, a place of sorrow. And so what does he do? What does David do? What should we do? What should you do tonight as a believer in the Lord Jesus when you find yourself in a place of sorrow and despair and anguish of soul because of sin or sickness or suffering in your life? We should learn to lament. That's what we should do. We should lament together. Now, what does lamenting look like? Now, tonight I'm going to try and walk us through the pattern of lamenting. I'm going to try and do it specifically from this psalm, but so that we can then see the pattern of how we can learn to lament, and then hopefully in the weeks to come we'll see about how we lament about other particular situations. But let me just run you through a pattern. How do we lament? Here's thing number one. We run to the Lord. We run to the Lord. Look at verse 1. What does it open with? Very first word. We can have a bit of participation here just to keep you awake. What's the very first word of Psalm 6? Lord. You see, in his sorrow and in his despair, which can very often tempt us away from the Lord, David takes it to the Lord. It's his address. David addresses his despair and his sufferings, this honest outpouring of his heart. He addresses it to the Lord, to the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And do you know what? He invites you to do the same this evening. That's why he gives us the lament psalms, because he invites us to take our sorrows and our sadnesses and our sufferings and to pour them out to him. Learning to lament in times of sin and sickness and suffering first means learning to run to the Lord rather than running from him. Turning to him is an expression of trust in him. Secondly, learning to lament means learning to be honest with the Lord. That's kind of the meat of the psalm, isn't it? David doesn't hold back in this psalm. I suspect that some of us are familiar with being able to pour out our hearts to God in this way, but some of us might not be. Can I really take all that honesty to the Lord? Can I really take that honesty to God? Yes. The Lord invites you to be honest with him, to tell him how you feel, to tell him the things that you fear. See, just look again at the psalm with me and see how honest David is. Verse 2, have mercy on me, Lord, for I am faint. I've got nothing left in the tank, God. I'm weary. Verse 3, my soul is in anguish. My very being is knotted up and it's terrified of what's going to happen. Verse 5, among the dead, no one proclaims your name. Who praises you from his grave? God, I'm worried about where this is heading. I'm worried what this is going to do. I'm worried where this is going to lead. I feel like this is going to end badly. My life is ebbing away from me. I can't take anymore. Verse 6, I'm worn out. God, I'm running on empty. I can't do this for many more days. I've got nothing. I've cried so much, everything is wet. Verse 7, I'm full of sorrow. My eyes grow weak with sorrow. They fail. Do you see the honesty? That's the honesty that God invites us to bring to him. You don't have to wrap it up. You don't have to put a kind of a bow on it to make it sound a little bit sweeter than it actually is. Take it to the Lord. And that's the kind of lamenting that the Lord wants us to do. Our Lord Jesus Christ, in his humanity, is one who models to us lament. As he experiences all the sorrow and the brokenness of our world, the Lord Jesus himself laments. In John chapter 12 and verse 27, we find Jesus saying words that echo verse 3 of this psalm. He says, my soul is overwhelmed, or my soul is troubled, my soul is in anguish. Just hours away from the cross, what was he doing in the sorrow of and suffering of the cross? He was lamenting, pouring out honestly to God how he felt. He faced the cross. Verse 1 and 2, he faced the rebuke of the Lord. He faced the discipline of the Lord, not for his sin, but for my sin. On the cross, his bones were in agony. His body was racked with pain. At the cross, his foes rose up against him, not just to get him nailed to a cross, but they then stood at the foot of the cross and they mocked him. Jesus knows this psalm, and he knows what it is to lament, to be honest to his Father in heaven as he experiences the pains of facing the Lord's wrath, as he experiences the sickness of a body, as he experiences his foes rising up against him. He laments. And he asks you to do the same. Learn to lament. Even as Jesus hung dying on a cross, what did he cry? My God, why have you forsaken me? What was he doing? He was lamenting. He was pouring out honestly to God how he felt in those moments. See, do you lament honestly? And behind all this is David's implicitly admitting that he has sin in his life. There's no explicit confession of sin. This is the first of what's called the penitential psalms, the confession psalms. But there's no explicit, you know, kind of admitting of a sin here. But it's implicit, isn't it? It's behind it to say verse 1, Lord, do not rebuke me in your anger. He recognizes there's sin in his life. This is why he's in this dark place. He knows it. I want to ask you tonight, are you honest with the Lord when you pray? Are you honest about your feelings? Are you honest about your fears? Are you honest about the sins in your life? Learning to lament means learning to run to the Lord, and it means learning to be honest with the Lord. But third, learning to lament means learning to seek help from the Lord. Here's the third thing that we're going to see. Learning to lament means learning to ask the Lord for help. See, look at verse 2 with me again. Have mercy on me. That's what he cries out in the middle of his struggles. Have mercy on me, Lord. Lord, I'm helpless. I'm at the end of myself. I'm powerless to do anything about it. Please, Lord, have mercy on me. Help somebody who cannot help themselves. Again, verse 2, you see it? Later on, he goes, heal me. He reaches out to the Lord for help in healing of his body, whatever is going on. Verse 4, turn, Lord. That's implied that God's kind of turned away from him, perhaps because of the sin in his life. He's turned away. Turn back, Lord. And what does he say? Deliver me. Save me. Can I ask you, do you pray like that? In your sins? And boy, we face sins often, don't we, in our own lives. But in our sins, in our sicknesses, in our sufferings, do you seek the help of the Lord? Have you ever prayed like that? See, that's how we become followers of Jesus, isn't it? It starts with turning to the Lord and asking him for help. Lord, turn and deliver me. See, David recognizes that the Lord has power to change his circumstances. He recognizes that when he sinned, it's in the Lord who he sinned against that there's forgiveness. He recognizes that when he's bodily broken in some way, it is the Lord who has power to put him right again. He recognizes that when foes rise up against him, it is the Lord who has power to help him. It's the Lord who can give us relief. See, lamenting, it isn't just complaining to the Lord. Lamenting is learning to ask our help from the Lord. And what is his appeal based on? You see, this is really interesting in the psalm. Look at verse 4. What is his appeal for help based on? You spot it there in verse 4? Your unfailing love. See, he doesn't rock up to God all filled with sorrow and grief and say, Lord, you should help me because I am the king of Israel. He doesn't say, Lord, you should help me because of my family background. Lord, you shouldn't. He doesn't say, you should help me because I've done all these wonderful things for you. No, he says, Lord, my only hope is your unfailing love. Your loyal love, your love that has committed to me, even though I've got it wrong, and even though I've sinned against you, and even though I've turned away from you so often, I'm appealing to your love that sticks with people, even though they don't stick with you. The Lord's love, his loyal love, his unfailing love, is our only hope. And the same is true for us in our sins, and in our sicknesses, and in our suffering. On what grounds can you appeal for the Lord's help? It's only his unfailing love. The love that sent Jesus into this world. The love that laid down its life for us on a cross. It is that love that has brought us forgiveness. It is that love that can bring healing. It is that love that can give us help. And so with eyes, as it were, fixed on the cross as we're lamenting, staring full at Jesus crucified for us, laying down his life for us, we pray, Lord, turn and deliver us, not because there's anything worthy about us, but because you love us, and you love us enough to have sent your Son for us. Learning to lament means learning to run to the Lord. It means learning to seek, or to be honest with the Lord, to seek our help from the Lord. Appealing to his love. And fourth, learning to lament means learning to be confident in the Lord. Just look with me at verses 8 through to the end. There's a real change of tone, isn't there, in the psalm? Did you detect that as we read? Suffering and groaning. And then in verse 9, he says, "Away from me, all you who do evil, for the Lord has heard my weeping. The Lord has heard my cry for mercy. The Lord accepts my prayer. All my enemies will be overwhelmed with shame and anguish. They will turn back and suddenly be put to shame." There's a real change of tone here, isn't there? A change of tone from being crushed to being confident. Confident that the Lord has heard him. Confident that the Lord will save him. Now, did the Lord change his actions between verse 7, his circumstances between verse 7 and 8? We don't know. But as he runs to the Lord, as he laments, even in the process of lamenting, as he seeks his help from the Lord, he finds a fresh confidence in the Lord. He's confident, isn't he, about two things. Number one, he's confident that the Lord has heard him. And number two, he's confident that the Lord will save him. So you just have a look at the language of verse 10. My enemies will be overwhelmed with shame. They will turn back. He's looking forward to the Lord doing something. And friends, because of Jesus, because of the cross, and because of the resurrection, we too can have this confidence as we lament our sorrows and our griefs before the Lord. The same two confidences that David has. Number one, you are heard. You are heard because in the Lord Jesus Christ, and as we come in his name, we are loved children. We belong to him. He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not graciously, along with him, give us all things? We are loved, we are heard by heaven as we lament to God. And the second thing we can be confident because of Jesus is that we will be saved. We will be. Now, that's not always now. That's not always immediately. That's not always the taking away of the specific problem you have. But there's a day coming when the Lord Jesus will stand and he will say to all evil, "Away from me." Casting evil away, casting his enemies aside, casting all sin and sickness out of this world. There is a day coming when that evil will depart, when the Lord will act on our weeping. Do you know, it says the Lord writes our tears on a scroll. Did you know that? And every prayer that is offered up is pictured in Revelation as incense in a bowl. And one day when that final judgment is poured out, all those prayers that we have prayed that may never have been answered now will be poured out on that last day. And the prayers that we've prayed, whether that is for healing or whether that is for some situation of foes against us, all of that will be poured out and answered more fully than you could have ever prayed for right now. All those prayers will be saved up. We will be saved. And learning to lament means learning to be confident in the Lord, who hears our prayers and who will save us. It means learning to trust him for the future of your situation, whatever is causing you to lament. So when you find your soul in anguish, whether that's because of a sin in your life, whether that's because of a sickness or because of people who are against you, learn to lament. Learn to run to the Lord. Learn to be honest with the Lord. Learn to seek your help from the Lord. and learn to be confident in the Lord to whom you've prayed. That is how you become a believer in the Lord Jesus. And friends, that is how we are to live as followers of Jesus, as we live in this gap between Jesus' first coming and between his second coming. Let's pray together. Let's pray about lamenting. I'll take a moment, I think, just to process some of that, and then we'll pray together. Our Father in heaven, we want to thank you that in our sorrows and griefs, whatever has caused them, whether that is our sinfulness, whether it's our brokenness, whether it's our sickness or the suffering at the hands of others, that you invite us to come to you and to pour it out honestly to you. Father, please help us to be those who lament, to pray, to trust you with the griefs and the sorrows of this world. Thank you for the Lord Jesus. Thank you that he is a man familiar with sufferings. Thank you that he is one who has walked the road of sorrow and grief and lamenting before us. And we want to thank you that because of him, because he endured your wrath at the cross, because he endured the aches of his body, because he endured his foes rising up against him and has come through death, we now know, Father, that we will be heard as we lament and that we will be saved as we look to you, especially as we await the return of our Lord Jesus. And Father, for those tonight that find themselves in places of sorrow, among us in places of anguished soul, please would you help them to draw near to you in this kind of lamenting. Would you restore their confidence in you who hears and who will save? And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, let's